In Response, a legacy podcast is brought to you by greatnessatanycost.com and austrian-legacy.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the 19th episode, Search More Witch Bitch of
In Response. A legacy podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
Also in this episode, we've got a lot of new information and news for you. At first, I think the biggest news this time is that we have reworked our logo.
Yeah.
And it's a courtesy of Daniel. Daniel, you did really great. I mean, the logo is so... Yeah, you can pat yourself on the back. It's really nice.
You guys
nice.
Can see it, but I'm patting myself on the back. Yeah. At least someone does.
Yeah, we work together, so...
Yeah, I think you gave me the right direction, I think.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it turned out great, I think. It is a simplified logo. You can check it all out yourself on our Twitter account, of course, and where else, actually?
I think it's everywhere where our podcast is located.
Oh, on
so
Anchor,
on Spotify,
of course.
Anchor, sure. Deezer, and mm-hmm. Apple, mm-hmm. Apple Podcast. And also, and that's the second big news.
Yeah.
You can also find the new logo on our new Patreon.
Nice.
We finally come together and finished our Patreon. And there we have three packages for you. The first one would be called Dirty Talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sucker.
I think the benefit in these packages is that you get a personal shout out from us, just the way you like to be called in our podcast episodes, that you can choose from. And Peter, what is another option you can choose?
Yeah, another option is to for the guys that want to do it publicly, and it's caught in the act. And there you get an exclusive sticker of our podcast logo sent after 3 months.
Nice. Oh, yeah. And also for sure, the shout out. So basically, with all the packages, you get the previous things also.
Yeah. The previous bonus.
And we also had a last package. And Daniel, how about this one?
It is called, very simply, Three Guys, One Cup. And in this package, you get the shout out, of course. And what you also get is a special Three Guys, One Cup.
Yeah, you get a coffee mug.
That we designed with our new logo. And if you choose to subscribe, you can get it after 3 months of subscription directly sent to you via shipping.
Postal service.
So what's great about all this, you can support the show, and we will always be free for you, but there will sometimes be Patreon exclusive content or something. We are not really sure how we will do this in the future, but I think this is a nice baseline that we've drawn here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for the foreseeable future, it will be like this, maybe with some benefits in the future.
Yeah,
awesome.
So I think that was all the podcast stuff that we had to talk about and that we had to tell you. At first, we will talk about some private things in our intro.
Why don't you start, Phil?
Oh,
for
okay.
This episode.
Oh my God. I wasn't prepared for this.
Just to change things up.
Okay,
every
yeah.
Once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. It's like always very busy for me. I have bought a new PC.
Nice.
My old one was from 2011, and I needed something new for Discord and for Zoom and for streaming in general. And I opted for a low budget version for about $600.
Okay.
So Yeah, it's certainly not the best. And in this pandemic, the prices for graphic cards are skyrocketing, like yeah. reserve discards.
Yeah.
And it's probably impossible to get even a graphic card from two years ago.
It's insane. I've bought my graphic card in 2016.
That's...
Or maybe even 2017.
Yeah.
And I've bought it for 430 euros. Mm-hmm. And the same graphic card, new, nowadays costs between 1,100 yeah. euros. So it's
crazy.
It's insane.
The
home office, the home building PCs, and I think also big impact is the Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, it's basically all crypto mining because 1 month after I bought it, the prices were already at around 650 to 700 for the same graphic card, just because crypto mining was a thing 1 month later on.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the reason I don't have a graphic card in my newly built PC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the onboard graphic card from the AMD
processor.
Do you have a Ryzen?
A Ryzen 5, yeah.
Okay.
And
you can upgrade the PC anytime.
Yeah, that's what I also thought. I mean, this pandemic will end eventually.
hopefully.
And then everything, maybe not everything, but at least these kind of things will get back to normal. And then I just invest 200 to 300 euros, and then I have my graphic cards. I don't need high end or something. I'm not very much of a gamer. I'm mostly if I play, I'm playing things like Skyrim or.
So are you playing, or would you? Also, you wouldn't play Skyrim.
I would play Skyrim.
You would play Skyrim, okay?
Yeah, I played Skyrim on my my PC that I have now.
Okay.
And I played it for about 300 hours, and I took a look how many frames per second I get with my old PC.
Yeah.
And it's about 14. So I played 300 hours Skyrim with 14 frames per second.
Oh my god, I couldn't even stand it for 1 second.
It's insane.
I'm very how do you call this?
Yeah, simplistic.
Old. Yeah. I don't need the very shiny and bling graphics and the high frame rate. It just has to work.
Okay.
And I think for this
you would be more than satisfied with the setup.
I'm definitely satisfied with the setup, and for streaming it's also kind of great. Because it's better than the last thing. The only thing that's really strange is I wanted two monitors for the new PC, and I bought them from Amazon, and we're not sponsored, by the way.
But you should be.
But Amazon, you are welcome to sponsor our podcast.
but it was kind of strange because they had to be delivered on Wednesday. And then it didn't come, and so they sent me an email. Yeah, it's delayed, and it takes 2 to 3 days. And then suddenly on Friday night, Friday to Saturday, I get an email at 2 a.m. or something that my order was refunded to my credit card.
Okay.
It was kind of strange because I didn't ask for a refund, and I just wanted to wait for them to come, but yeah, they self-refunded, so I bought another one. And what was funny is that the better monitors were reduced in the price, were on sale, and they were basically the same price like the one that I wanted at first. So I bought them, and I hope they come tomorrow.
Okay.
And then my setup will be ready to go.
In the end, it was a better deal then.
Yeah, just with 1 week wait time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that hurts a little bit. But in the end, you get the better monitors.
Yeah.
Which is great.
If they are coming.
If they are coming, yeah.
Just knocking off some wood here.
You will hear. You will hear them in the next podcast. And yeah, that was basically it, I think, for me. The only thing... Just one thing.
The new OnlyFans is released from you?
No.
Next time.
But my girlfriend will be on, I'm not sure how do you call it, it's called rehab. It's a rehab? Oh my God, it's a rehab.
Not for drugs.
not for drugs, no. She had a surgery on her back, and she will be 3 weeks in... Yeah,
it's in daily care where they kind of...
They work with the humans that enter there and...
Yeah, they provide exercises and watch what they're doing and have, I think, some guidelines.
Basically, some personal trainers for food that you get the right thing.
Yeah, you call this kind of
maybe
it's called Reha in German.
So. Reha or Kur. So she will be there for 3 weeks, and I'm not really allowed to visit her because of COVID. Because of the COVID situation. So I will have a lot more time for streaming and also a lot more time for Magic Online. So I will definitely use this.
So we will be seeing you online and in the streams in the next weeks? Maybe?
Probably, yeah.
That's nice.
Testing my new setup. And that's probably enough from me. I mean, I've talked a little bit much here. Peter, how about you?
Yeah, for me it's... a little bit faster to go to. I have just university, some stuff. I'm really enjoying TFT lately.
What is TFT actually?
It's Teamfight Tactics.
It's
like
an
auto battler from from Riot Games. There I'm in the top 4% of Europe.
Nice. And
wow, that's really good.
Are there any rewards for that at some point?
Yeah, you get a special skin after each set that is released. I mean, I'm enjoying the set lately, and yeah, it's basically what I do a lot instead of playing Magic lately. And I'm doing, yeah, currently a Pokemon Nuzlocke, and enjoying that and playing through my first game.
Have you mentioned this Nuzlocke at some point in the podcast?
I think in the last episode, I said that I really, really enjoy watching some YouTube content.
Just for the viewers, what is Nuzlocke in a nutshell?
It's basically playing Pokemon on a level that makes you that you can fail the game. I'm playing it with hardcore Nuzlocke rules, which means I am not allowed to overtrain my Pokemon. So my highest level Pokemon is the highest level Pokemon of the next gym trainer.
Okay.
Or gym leader. I get only the first encounter in each area, which means I enter the area, I encounter the first Pokemon, I have to catch this Pokemon, or I don't get an encounter for this area.
You get the encounter, but you're not allowed to catch it.
Yeah, you can fight against it just to train up your Pokemon, and you have to give every Pokemon nicknames.
Okay.
So one of my first Pokemon that I got in this run that I'm currently on was my favorite Pokemon, Hitpick 47, and it's died.
Oh no.
But yeah, so it's basically really, really enjoyable, and I'm doing the runs currently a lot with one of our fellow Legacy players in Linz. It's Münster, and you will see him, or you will her, or see him later on a stream sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically the last thing I did was 20 hour in game and 10 hour real life grinding in the Cerulean City game corner just to get the TMs for Ice Beam, Shadow Ball, Thunderbolt and Flamethrower.
That's university life as a student, like I imagine it.
And this was only possible because Monday are no homeworks to give to get back to university. So
I wasn't even able in the old Pokemon games to play in this
game corner.
In this game corner.
I mean, the problem is that in Fire Red, which is the game I'm playing, there is only the slot machine, because in the newer games, there you have a game which is basically called... it's a Voltorb game. Basically it's like a game there you have rows and sections. In each of them there is a specific amount of balls which are basically like bombs that you can hit,
Like Minesweeper.
It's basically similar to Minesweeper, yeah.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, it's quite different to Minesweeper, but you have to just avoid the bombs and then you get good rewards. And there is this really, really easy to grind money on. But the old games are hard. So, yeah. Happens.
Okay, but and we're just wrapping this up, Daniel. What are some news from you?
Yeah, I have a lot of work to do at the university. I'm just about to hand in the paper that I previously mentioned. I think in the last or the...
I think it's two or three podcasts ago,
Okay. A lot of work went into this stuff, but we are about to publish my paper. It is my professor has the final touches on the subject, basically, and then we're handing it in. And for this, I have a lot of things to do at the university. And, today's Tuesday. I just came back from actually a great weekend. I got to get to know my girlfriend's parents and family and friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. Yeah, she took me home to her hometown. And I think there's no really general way to describe this because you might not know it or the listeners won't know it, but you guys, of course, know the area or the town. It is a small village, let's say, in just in the middle between the Attersee and the Traunsee.
Actually, I think some listeners will know this because the region where all this is located would be called the Salzkammergut, and that's where Hallstatt is. Hallstatt is probably very famous.
Yeah, Hallstatt is very famous, but Hallstatt is a little bit...
It's far away, but it's in the region.
Yeah.
It's the most prominent place from the whole region.
And
it's nearer than the Vienna, yeah.
For sure. It was actually really fascinating for me because I'm not really a city guy, but I always lived in the rural parts of cities, and I get to see really the land side of Austria a little bit more, and it was really fun.
And actually, that's not even the really not rural really, area.
Not really, but for me, it is actually.
Wow, there are flowers.
Oh my God, grass. But How does that feel? Oh.
What is a lawnmower?
But the landscape is so fantastic. And I brought my...
have you seen this monster?
It's a squirrel. It's a squirrel. You know, the magic card.
Run!
I also took my racing bike with me with the intention to go on a bike ride there because there are fantastic places to visit.
But you rode other things, am I right?
I hope for him.
Well, what was that? What I have to say? Like you said, Peter, I didn't get the chance to do that.
Well, that's good for you.
No. Because I just had to drink so much alcohol, which is amazing. Because on the first evening, we just sat together with her parents and her sister also. And I had 5 to 6 beers at this evening, and I was completely hungover for the next one. And it was a full clash of trips. She took me to her women's group that she always meets. She has a small group back. Actually, my girlfriend went to Hallstatt in a school there, and then she met some friends of her, and they keep meeting every once a few weeks. And she took me to a meetup with these girls so that they also could get to know me. And on the same evening, then we visited other friends of her. And this was really amazing because they have how's it called? A Bauernhof?
A farm.
And they have a farm which they are building some hotel rooms in there.
There are special rooms. When you go to the window of the room, you have a direct sight of the Traunsee and the Traunstein. And you can imagine how amazing and, for example, and also how expensive this location there is. It is amazing. I think it is worth millions.
Yeah, for our listeners, the Traunsee Lake and the most prominent mountain right beside the lake is the Traunstein.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah, it was a really great weekend, but I was always so hungover that I couldn't really get to use my racing bike. That was the big problem. But they're very great people.
Yeah, it seems like a really busy weekend for you.
Yeah.
You had a lot of things to do.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah,
that's about it.
And one thing that's also really great, and a huge shout out from us to Joe Dyer. He has invited us again.
Yeah.
For the third time now to the to his article for the round Legacy Roundtable. And yeah, it was really great to be part of this. Like the last two times. It's always great to be part of this, and Joe Dyer is always a very, very big supporter from our cast.
So yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to be there and to share our opinions on different topics.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's always a good time to sit together, think about the format in a really, really deep way, and yeah, talk about it. It's basically two times an episode for us in preparation and talking to solve these five questions.
I think we took 6 hours this time.
I mean, it was 6 hours because we had to do some other stuff, but I think it was about 3 hours that were only five questions, so it's a lot to talk about.
For comparison, we take the same amount of time to answer these five questions and to make a podcast episode.
pretty much.
So
and with this, we also have made the transition to magic finally.
Yeah,
it's been long weeks since we last met and since we last talked about magic. I don't think you guys have played very much at the moment.
There are not really big opportunities at the moment, so no. And for me, I'm always quite busy with university. So, not for me.
So, yeah. And you, Peter?
Yeah, I've basically had one evening where I played a little bit around with my Grixis Painter pile, which I talked about in the last episode, I think. And yeah, was okay. But yeah, I was focusing a little bit more on getting to Diamond in TFT. And yeah. At least
priorities. You need to get your priorities straight, Peter.
I have to. The problem is, I would play, I think, a lot more on MTGO if we were having
tournaments
on Fridays, FNMs.
The lack of those is really hampering the motivation and the lust to play.
And I mean, it's a small case, but I really like talking about Legacy in the latter times, and for something coming up in the near future, I really like seeing other play.
Oh yeah.
And therefore I'm not playing that much because I can't really watch movies or watch streams while playing Magic myself.
Yeah,
but for TFT, it does work because it's not too in-depth looking what the other do.
So okay.
It's a little bit easier. But yeah, we are going to Magic now. I think, Philip, you played a little bit around.
Yeah, also not really much. I had maybe time for, I think, 2 or 3 evenings.
Okay.
And the time wasn't enough to play a whole league. So I just jerked around in the
tournament practice queue.
Practice queue. And played, yeah, my bullshit list. And yeah, I gotta say the meta is really interactive at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of Delver.
Mm-hmm. And like always, but yeah.
And Strixhaven has also really made an impact now.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, with that, I think this is the topic of the day. Impact of Strixhaven.
Yeah, witch bitch.
And yeah, basically we have to talk about three topics here. And the biggest topic is Smog.
Which is actually not a Strixhaven card.
Yeah, which is Chain of Smog. It's basically the whole, how is it called? The doubling effective...
Yeah, copying spells.
Magecraft ability. Yeah. This Enabler. Is under Chain of Smog. Then we have some beautiful sideboard or even main deck choices printed. And one small topic in the end for Solve the Equation, which is basically a new card of Strixhaven. So I think we start off with the first topic, Chain of Smog.
With Smog? Really? I wanted to talk about the Strixhaven card that makes it work.
Yeah, in combination with Chain of Smog.
At first I wanted to get the big elephant out of the room. It's the Witherbloom Apprentice. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew that this card was... I'm not sure if I want to call it good. I mean, it has the
it has the win potential.
And also it has some results to back it up.
Yeah.
Now, because the latest challenge we had a lot of Bug Smog Delver, some Bug Smog Control. Mm-hmm. The spiciest list I've seen was Chant Smog Phoenix list.
Okay.
From Musa, Sabi, and Fish Duggery.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it went 7th in the challenge. So.
Mm. Okay, that's cool.
That's really great. I mean,
yeah. It is a question if this card or this combination of cards is really that strong or if it's just a result of many people trying it out.
Yeah, I think that's the case. It's more the favorite of the month.
Yeah, kind of.
Feeling that I get with this.
But it might just be good and fine.
It's definitely good. You have some games or some matchups where it just doesn't matter. If you go turn one... something. If you know your Death and Taxes opponent is tapped out,
yeah,
he can't do anything, and you just smoke him dead.
Yeah, it's just a win.
And that's sometimes really good, and also it's nice to have it in Delver as an I win button, because in Delver the Witherbloom Apprentice is also really great. It gives you some reach, like Buck has always lacked something like Lightning Bolt. To finish the last points of damage. And the Witherbloom Apprentice drains your opponent with each Brainstorm, each Ponder, each Abrupt Decay. And 2 to 3 points of damage can go a long way.
True. Also, the life gain is not to be neglected.
Especially with Blue-Red Delver being currently a really, really big play in the meta.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Blue-Red Delver is probably at the moment the best Delver deck.
Yeah.
Blue red with the splash with the 1 or 2
with the green splash of the sideboard.
I really like this part.
Really great deck building here. But yeah, back to topic. Everybody knew that this card was tried out. Everybody knew that this card was a huge combo powerhouse.
Yeah.
But the next one was a little bit overlooked. It has also the Magecraft ability.
Mm-hmm.
It has Menace. It's a 3/2, and it has Ward, and it's probably the bigger sister of Young Pyromancer.
I mean, with bigger sister, you mean grandmother, but I kind of get it.
we correctly assessed her as the Gilf, right?
Yeah, I think we talked about that in the spoiler session of the last episode.
Yeah, Satchmo Witch.
It is fine to compare it to Young Pyromancer, but it can also be the bigger grandma of Monastery Mentor.
Oh yeah,
it's also a good. It's kind of in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Young Pyromancer and Monastery Mentor. But you, I think Philip, you before we started the episode, you told me that in combination with Chain of Smog, you can get infinite tokens.
Yeah.
And there are some decks trying this combination of cards, right?
Yeah, well, I have also already seen a Grixis Delver, Sedgemoor Witch list.
Yeah.
For the infinite tokens with Young Pyromancer and Sedgemoor Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have seen from Phil Gallagher the Dead Guy Ale build with the Sedgemoor Witch and with the combo. And I, for myself, have tried to run Callum's list without the Mentors and with the Sedgemoor Witch.
Mm-hmm.
To a little bit of success. I think I've won one match out of three. But that's probably...
Broken confirmed.
That's probably because of the fact that I simply can't play cantrips and I really suck at them. So.
Okay.
Yeah, seems like something to work on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
But I like the Esper color, so maybe that's a way to work for me. But I won two or three games with infinite tokens.
Okay.
And that's really cool. So, yeah, it seems like the Sedgemoor Witch is the real deal of the set. Yeah, it's probably the hidden power piece in this set. I hope we see a lot more with this card because I like the style.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the playstyle. I always liked Young Pyromancer. And I will try to brew something around Mardu colors with the Sedgemoor Witch and Young Pyromancer. I thought about going straight Rakdos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you need always some white in your life.
White is crucial, I think, nowadays. Or currently, especially with Uro being an okay power level, but big play in the format.
Yeah, it is one of the best options to grind nowadays. Yeah,
because I think you have no chance to win against control if you have no outs to Uro in game one. And yeah, for that you need the Swords to Plowshares.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then you're in for, if you play Swords, then you're in for a longer game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can you don't play Bolts and Swords together in the same deck. And if you forgo Bolts, then you have to play a more slower and more longer game.
Yeah. And for that, I think Sedgemoor, which is just fine. I mean, the board is, I think, take a Bolt to the face. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate because on this card, a ward, two mana or something like that would have been...
Even one mana would be way better.
Yeah, because the problem that the control decks have so much life gain against such slow midrange decks with no...
Yeah, that's also the only thing that I really don't like about this card.
Yeah.
I love the manas because you can attack with it. Unlike Young Pyromancer, I like the tokens because they give you value when they die.
Yeah, but you have to think about it. If it wouldn't have ward takes 3 damage, it would still be fine. So we wouldn't even talk about this weakness. So I think
that's true.
It's a bonus.
It's a really, really small bonus. Yeah. Like if you go buying a dress and you get a Smarties or something like that.
you don't complain about a little box of Smarties, but you're also not thinking, wow, this is great, this makes my day.
Just you buy a car and
you pay Smarties.
15 grand and you get, a here you get Smarties too. But
you earned it.
It's the bonus.
The bonus, yeah.
But you wanted the merci. I think we've covered the smog.
Yeah, pretty much. Bit. Liliana and is probably not really playable in Legacy with 6 mana.
No, definitely not.
You mean the sexy teacher?
The Professor Onyx.
Professor Onyx. Yeah, and with that out of the way, I think we cover up the next topic, which are sideboard choices.
And for the big part, this is Fracture and Rip Apart, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I think there was one, two that I'm completely mindless missing currently. I will search it up but talk about Riverpod and Fracture in the
meantime. Yeah, I think Fracture is one easy piece that in Espa or white black based decks simply replaced Disenchant completely. Because if you have black and white in your deck, you don't have any downsides of just replacing the card. Just similar to, in some ways, if you remember the Counterspell and Dovin's Veto kind of swap, it kind of feels like similar to that.
That's a good comparison. I like that. Yeah,
kind of that, or I think there are some other ones too, but I can't remember right now.
Like it's not strictly better, but they're almost they're only corner cases where Disenchant would be better than Fracture.
Yeah, and in the circumstance of the deck building surrounding and the mana cost that you are building your deck, it is the downsides are kind of non-existent or not really there.
And the cards that we forgot was Vanishing Verse.
Okay, is it a sideboard option or actually a main deck?
I think it's my main deck.
Vanishing Verse was seen already in the main deck, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I have never cast it. I can't say. I resolved the Fracture.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I didn't came to play a Vanishing Verse or a Riverpod, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Vanishing Verse is really, really good because it can solve a lot of problems for lots of base decks because it can hit something like, I mean, a Marid Large is not a problem for
white base
for decks, white base decks, but something like a Chase.
You would think it's still a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's
giving them 20 life in a slow, controlly deck is still
it's
kind of hard always. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. But it can kill a Chase.
Sure.
It can kill a lot of
a library,
big things.
Of a course library. Also.
Yeah, library is great. Library is really huge.
Yeah.
Because library is something that is for Odds of Colors main deck completely uncontested. Every time you play with Mardu or something like that against a green based deck and they resolve game one as a one library, it's basically running around trying to do something, stabbing like a giant with a small knife, and it doesn't do anything to them. So, yeah.
Why do you have to call me out so bad?
So. The only thing that I would have loved for this card to do is Exile and Uro. So, disclaimer or shout out, or no, how do you say it? I'm making a petition to rename it Vanishing Uro, and it has the text Exile target monocolored permanent or Uro. Then I'm fine with it.
Then it would be really cool, yeah.
But it is what it is. It is a fine card.
Yeah,
for sure.
Completely okay. Kills a Delver.
Kills a Delver. Very important.
I would love it if it would say Exile target non-land permanent with less than one color or with less than two color.
You currently said it doesn't say land.
Yeah, it doesn't say land.
I can play it with painter.
So you can exile lands if you have painter. Yeah,
completely
nice.
Yeah, nice, but not
but honestly, you've got pyroblast for this. most of the time you would choose blue with painter, right?
Yeah.
Any other card that is not blue is not a target for Vanishing Verse in that case anymore.
Yeah.
Because it is multicolored.
But Lens doesn't have colors, so.
Yeah, but all other cards.
You would still play any Pyroblast or Hydroblast over this
really
card.
Good.
And just.
Yeah.
I mean, the Exile Clause is good, but there are currently not that much indestructible things.
It. You don't care about this with painter.
Because against Marid Large, you have the Baleful Strix in the build that I have. And yeah, I'm also base Grixis, so Vanishing Verse doesn't make any sense in this pile currently.
The big drawback is that it doesn't hit Uro, then it doesn't hit Clothis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hit Teferi.
Yeah, Teferi is also
These
a
are,
good
I think, the three.
Mm-hmm. But it hits Omniscience, which is a huge player.
Mm-hmm.
Which was.
Yeah, but for this card, I'm not sure. For these three cards, they're kind of overlapping all the time. I'm not sure when I want to play Riverpod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure when I want to play Vanishing Verse. For sure, if I'm in Esper, an Esper
there's
colors.
No question.
There's no there's no questions. I play Fracture or Vanishing Vessel, not Ripperpod. And the Francesca, I can only play Ripperpod, yeah, for sure.
But in Madu?
Madu or four color, or four, even four color.
Like Queen Vachesa or Queen's Gambit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's kind of tension there, and they're really overlapping. And for me personally, Fracture looks like the best of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Although I love the other cards, especially Ripperpod is so cool, but I'm not sure where I want to have this over Fracture when I can play either of them.
No.
And also Fracture or Vanishing Verse, the things we've talked about, the Uro, the Clawfist, the Teferi, mm-hmm. Fracture doesn't hit Uro,
mm-hmm.
but Fracture. And also doesn't Clawfist, but it at least kills a Teferi.
Yeah. And the black-white color combination is, in general, very good at dealing with creatures.
Yeah.
And the lack of Fracture not being able to deal with creatures is kind of not a problem here.
Yeah.
And Fracture covers all the rest. Yeah. So I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest player. I would have loved for Ripperpod to go in the face.
That's true, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
That's the
or
only
or
thing.
To be instant. In my taste, for my taste.
Yeah, but then I think go in the face and be instant, it's too good.
Either or. I'm fine with.
I mean, going to the face isn't really that big of a deal, I think. I think having an instance at instant speed would have been a really, really big player, because I'm always thinking, do I really want to rip apart, or is something like, how's the other card called? Completely missing it again.
Wear and tear?
Not wear and tear.
A braid.
A braid. Because a braid instant speed is a really, really nice tool, and a lot of times, at least in Mardu, I can see it a little bit more because you don't have the card selection. But if you're playing it in something like Jeskai or something like that, maybe the instant speed is just a really, really big factor.
In Jeskai, I wouldn't play this over a braid, no question. But I would play it also over disenchant.
Mm-hmm.
And you always play 1-2 disenchant effects in the Jeskai colors.
Mm-hmm. But you play the wear and tear there.
But I would play this in Jeskai over Wethia. You don't need to hit both. Wethia, you need Wethia to hit two of your opponent's permanents for combo decks, like in Dredge or in Reanimator.
Mm-hmm.
They're really like Wethia. If your opponent goes turn zero, Leyline, Chalice on one, then you want to have Wethia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For anything else, if your opponent just goes Chalice on one because they don't board in Leyline because you're not the graveyard deck, then Ripperpod seems infinitely better, in my opinion, because you can also, oh, well, nice chase you've got there that has brainstormed. Rip it apart.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that Chase is an old Planeswalker with okay-ish loyalty counters. Because nowadays a Planeswalker starts with 5-6.
Oh, yeah.
And their Ripperpod is, yeah. Small Planeswalker.
So anyway, enough about the Mardu colors. The next big player that we have identified within the Strixhaven cards is Solve the Equation. This new tutor is a huge player in various Omnitel, Omnishow, mm-hmm. how you ever want to call it, built. And it seems like it's a mainstay there now.
Yeah, a lot of lists are playing it. To summarize it, as you told me, it is nice to have it as extra Cunning Wish effects or extra Sneak and Show.
Show and Tell
effects. So it's kind of works for both cases, and it also only costs 3 mana.
Yeah.
And it's pitchable to Force of Will.
And it's pitchable to Force of Will, yeah.
Because a lot of the tutors for the main deck are costing nowadays 4 mana. or yeah. three mana with a lot of downside, mm-hmm. like Grim Tutor, for example, which is not pitchable to Force of Will.
I think the best tutor that they printed nowadays was Wishcloth Talisman.
Talisman, yeah. But it's also 3 mana.
Yeah, and you can't pass the turn after
it's black.
Mm-hmm. And it's black. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Cunning Wish is just basically for an A plus B combo deck a really, really good effect.
Yeah.
Because you need another half and it's easily gettable.
Yeah.
And yeah, for that, I think Cunning Wish.
You mean solve the equation, no?
Yeah, solve the equation. We'll see a lot of play in decks that also play Cunning Wish.
Okay, yeah. There you go. I can also see solve the equation maybe in Storm builds like Ant. I think it can maybe take the place of Dark Petition there. For sure not Infernal Tutor or Burning Wish, but maybe Dark Petition?
It could be the case, for sure. The upside of solve the equation would be that you only need 3 mana to cast it, and yep. Dark Petition requires 5 mana. The problem would be that the net mana is still better for Dark Petition, as it you get in the most cases
yep.
you get 3 black mana back, and it only would cost 2 mana in that case. Then might be better than Grim Tutor, for example. But the blue required to cast it would also be a little bit of a problem, since it requires to have both a focus on mana cost itself, as it costs 3 mana, and also the mana type that you're producing with your lates, for example, with your petals. You can't easily go always sack my lates to black mana, because all your stuff that you're getting would cost black mana.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you have to account for a little bit of blue, and sometimes this is what I would call the test problem, that because Chess has exactly this problem with red and black, then this could cause a problem in end if you would shift the tutor effect from black to blue.
Yeah. Okay, but, yeah.
I think some cases or some lists or people would or can easily try it out, I think.
Yeah,
it's what I want to say, what's really great is I've looked at the latest Ant lists and I've got Ant on paper.
Yeah, I think
I probably need to play this or to build it. Yeah,
you need 2 undergrounds here, I think, 1 Bayou, 1 Tropical Island, and
the Volcanic.
A Volcanic, yeah, and right. 2 basics.
And the Lates.
The Lates, yeah.
Yeah. That was so great when I went over the list and think, oh, I've got that. Walker. Oh my god, that's great.
I mean, I can play
not a shitty deck.
That would require Ant not being a shitty deck, but yeah. No, I think Ant is just fine now.
Yeah,
should be fine. Yeah, I think solved equation is better in non-combo turns. But Dark Petition is better in combo turns.
Mm.
And as we talked about it, I need to try it because I was, solved the equation, legacy card. I didn't even realize that it was modern playable. I really have to try this in Storm.
Yeah.
I completely.
What's modern? I sold my shotguns today. What's modern?
I mean, it's a really good point because Secret Lair shocklands are available in America for half the price that would get the shocklands, apparently.
Ooh.
So you can buy because you can buy 3 each or something like that. But yeah, it is half the retail price of what is the website that the Americans always use?
TCG Player?
Yeah, it's on TCG Player Mid, 50% of that.
Okay, wow, so that's a great deal.
Yeah, but that means basically all the stores that have Shockland sitting around basically have reduced in half the price. Because you get it from WotC directly, the single is cheaper than from the game stores.
So that was a good decision that I made.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've sold mine last year sometime.
Mm-hmm. I have just some of them left for nostalgia reasons. But... Yeah. I think
because of the nice names.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
And with the cards, I think we can move on to the next topic, yeah, which is Paper Legacy. And this is returning.
Kind of returning.
Some of you listeners will know that we are hosting tournaments over webcam. And this is a tournament is a little bit far-fetched, but this is now the second one.
Yeah, we're already plural.
Yeah, we are now plural. So we are hosting a webcam tournament for our Austrian Legacy fellow players. And we will stream this one on the 15th of May. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure on which time we will...
I mean, time is not really set.
Set in stone now. But it's on in the afternoon, mm-hmm, here in Austria. So I think if you go to American time, it would be on the 11 a.m. or something like that.
I mean, it should be around between lunch and breakfast, something like that.
Yeah. So if you have nothing to do on Saturday, join in. You can watch us on twitch.tv/Austrian_legacy.
And if you have time for another day, the top 8 will be streamed on Sunday, most likely the same time as the Saturday event.
And we will commentate on the whole event for you. And we think this will be a lot of fun, mm-hmm, and it would be great to see some of you there.
Yeah. With this?
I think we have just covered everything up in this episode.
Yeah.
Where can we find you, Peter?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at UnicornLordMT. Without MTG. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at Unicorn Lord, but the O in the Lord is a zero. Where can we find you, Daniel?
at Flying Delva, not MTG.
This just, is not a running gag.
Just at Flying Delva on Twitter, yeah. And Philip, where can find you?
And you can find me, as always, at Finnek MTG, PHINEKMTG.
The only MTG.
The only one.
I think I renamed myself to at Unicorn Lord, not MTG.
And in response, MTG.
And you can find the whole cast on Twitter. It's at response_legacy.
Without the MTG.
Without MTG, yeah.
Yeah. With this, the end.